Star Market Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Don't get used to it. Only home game in a 19-day stretch. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by the Star Market app. Earn rewards. Save on your groceries and gas with Star Market for you. Download the Star Market app. Go shopping. Get rewards. Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Celtics Radio Network. Before we get to the content of Sunday, we need to establish another addition to the Ime Udoka glossary. Potential assists. What are they? What are they? Why do they? Because you can't have a conversation. These are the building blocks of conversation, right, people? Because I know you're going to hit it eventually. What are they? Why do they matter? I always think of you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him make the shot.
Yeah, it's basically the number of looks or attempts that resulted from a pass that were on a missed shot. So, you know, we obviously had the assists that we made and the ones that were missed or passes that led to a shot, you know, whether it's a pull-up or a layup or a one dribble pull-up that's counted as assist, that's potential assist. As simple as it sounds, it's just what it sounds like. That was our highest game against Toronto, so it means the ball was moving. We made right play, and the result may not have resulted in a make, but a potential assist. And so that shows the ball movement, shows that we followed the game plan with Toronto, a team that really loads up and tried to take away Jason Jaylen at times, and they did the right thing.
Yeah, it's funny because we talked about how they lead the league in steals, and yeah, they force turnovers, and yet in the first half, it unfolds that way, and we see why. What was different? I know the numbers were what they were, and the turnovers came way down. Why?
Stop playing in the crowd. We watched some film at halftime and talked about and showed some of the easy passes that we passed up to try to get into the paint. That's a team that I mentioned comes from a random variety of places, different traps and blitzes than you're used to. And so just being strong with the ball, playing through the referees and playing through their contact, and I think we did a much better job in the second half.
Jaylen playing again tonight. Sunday, he was winded. It was noticeable. And my first reaction is what anybody's would be. You know, he hadn't played in 2 weeks. That's the way of it. Do we have to look at things like that differently now in the time in which we live? And maybe it's because we have a team in the Celtics that have been hit so hard by COVID. Sixers on the other side have been hit so hard by it. Do we have to sort of retrain ourselves to look at things differently with guys who've just been through it?
Well, yeah, I think for the most part, we've had guys out with flu, and Josh came back and he asked me to come out. He was playing well in the first quarter and asked to come out to get his win back. You could see something similar happen to Rob tonight, possibly, you know, being out for 4 or 5 games, whatever it's been. And then to your point, COVID guys coming back, you saw Jaylen have great games. Joel the other night had a 42 and then dipped in his second game. So it's going to be some fatigue and conditioning, muscle soreness after a big game like that. And you know, nobody talks about it and uses it as an excuse. We haven't, but, you know, we had Dennis and Rob out last game, but you got to play with who you have, and other guys stepped up and did great.
It's an odd transition to the Sixers, who've also been decimated, as we said earlier in the year, but Joel's comments, and you always, you know, take them with a little grain of salt. You know him extremely well. We know the surface of the guy, but his comments were pretty jarring. When I think of Joel Embiid, and the basketball piece is obvious, there are nights to me he looks like the best player in the world. He looks so dominant. He strikes me, as you being someone who was around him, as just one of those dudes that sort of just lights up a room when he walks into it.
Oh, yeah, that's his personality for sure. I mean, you know, he's a little quiet at first when you get to know him, but when you get to know him, that's him. Brings a ton of energy and joy to the room. A very carefree spirit that speaks his mind and says what he wants and backs it up for the most part. So, obviously, I've spent a year with him in Philadelphia. I got to know him well. Just saw him out in the hallway there and, you know, spoke to him. I'm just glad he's healthy and feeling good because it hit him pretty hard and it was a scary moment for him.
As I said, there are nights he just, listen, Steph poses the problems that Steph poses, KD poses the problems that he poses, but Joel is a guy who, in this league, there are nights you watch him and it looks like you just throw up your hands, like you can't stop him.
Yeah, because not only of the size and, you know, his weight and height, he is a guy that does it from everywhere on the court. I was around Tim Duncan and LaMarcus Aldridge and some guys before I went to Philadelphia, and getting there with him, seeing the agility he has for his size and the touch around the basket, the three-point shooting, the power moves, he pretty much checks all the boxes from a scoring standpoint. And you double him on the post, he just faces up and takes it to the outside. So he can do it in so many ways. And to your point, if he's healthy and in shape and motivated, nobody can really stop him at the league. And you've seen that over the last few years, have been a potential MVP candidate before injury derailed that.
You know so many of their players. One of them has always fascinated me. And I just ended up in one of those, I don't do it a lot, but down the statistical rabbit hole the other day. Danny Green is going to make his 700th start in the next couple of weeks. And it occurred to me, I was wondering, how many players have scored fewer points in the history of the league that have started that many games? And there's only two, both centers. which to me, yeah, it's an amazing number. Mark Eaton is one. I got the other one at the tip of my fingers here.
Wow.
It's an interesting. What it really struck me was how valuable Ben Wallace is. The other. It struck me how valuable a player must be, and all the things that he can do. That he has been trusted by so many people to play so many big minutes, and that you can be a long time elite player in this league without being a scorer, even though he can score when he needs to, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously came in with the reputation as a shooter, but he's not just that. He's one of the 3-and-D guys, and when you combined him with Kawhi back in our San Antonio days, you know, he was an elite second defender next to a guy like Kawhi. So he does it. He knows his role. It's very valued on teams, winning teams. The shooting and the, you know, defense and some of the things he does. He has an uncanny ability to get his hands on balls and chase down blocks. So he's mastered his craft, not just offensively shooting-wise, but has done other things to stay on the floor as well.
That's the head coach. I was joking about it being your reunion week last week in Brooklyn, San Antonio, in about 54 hours. No one's mentioned this yet, but you're going to be home in Portland. But this particular one interested me the most because you just spent so much time. You and I talked about San Antonio. I knew all the media you were going to have talking about going back there and Pop and the culture. To me, of your path, one of the most interesting decisions had to be choosing to leave that to expand your own horizons, but going to a situation that had great potential, obviously, but as well as you knew Brett, there was, you know, obviously going to be drama surrounding that season, and he had been there a long time, and that while it clearly was the right decision, it had to be one that came with a lot of thought going into it.
Yeah, it was, and a big part of it was the fact that Brett was there. You know, obviously the talent on the roster was there, and they've had some ups and downs, and like I said, I wanted and needed that growth for my, you know, personal growth in my profession, and so it was definitely a challenge. We had some high moments that year, and then obviously getting swept out of the bubble by Boston at the time was, you know, a letdown, and then the staff getting fired. So, you know, I look at all those as invaluable experiences, that as well as Brooklyn, and really helped move me forward in my coaching profession. You know, 7 years in San Antonio were great, but those two last two stops were just as invaluable for different reasons, as I just mentioned.
And the accent. I mean, you had to be prepared. Nerlens played so hard.
I played for Brett, so I know I've heard it well.
Celtics and Sixers next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.